YouTube's 32-bit limit, Wire is the new Skype, Kindle Fire first support, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 211, Opa YouTube style. So, pretty interesting, or actually, I want to say more of a random but exciting week this week. A lot of random things going on, so not too much to say. I'll jump right into it and get right through it. So, the usual headlines, apps, and device news. Quick app review, nothing too special. If you're interested in having it, it's just a fun little game for the season. And then we'll close it out with another game for... or as part of the Chromebook quick tip segment. So with that, I'll jump right into the headlines. So Google Plus on the web got an update to now allow pinning posts to the top of the page. So it's along the lines of what Twitter lets you do. So if there's a particular post that you want to always show, for example, if you're promoting something, you've got a poll going on, you want to share a new image or anything like that, then you can now do that in Google Plus. Google confirmed that they're starting work on a kid-friendly version of some of their services, including Search, Chrome, and YouTube. So it makes it that much, it should make it that much easier for people with kids to have a kid-friendly site, just essentially along the lines of flipping a switch and going from there. So we'll see exactly how that works out and if they're able to do it, but looks like they're working on targeting a bigger segment of the population by promoting or providing a service for younger or the younger generation. Google also released a new version of CAPTCHA called ReCAPTCHA, which hopefully makes it easier to prove that people are that you are actually a human. So it's more along the lines of picking from a list or making a selection rather than having to type words that are barely legible. So we'll see exactly how well it works, if it's able to hold up to security, and if people actually are able to use it a little bit better than CAPTCHA. But from the looks of it, it does look like it is a lot easier to use than having to figure out what set of characters and numbers are on the screen. As far as what the title or the explanation for the title of this week's episode, this week the music video for Gangnam Style on YouTube got such a high viewer count that it actually broke the YouTube counter. So essentially what we found out from Google was that they had been using a 32-bit value counter for YouTube videos to keep track of that. And that's the limit that it hit, so that's what threw it out of whack. But they have now updated the entire YouTube counter for the entire website to support a 62-bit version of the same counter. So essentially, views can go up to something like 6 tera views or something like that. So essentially a number so big that it would be virtually impossible to reach it. So we'll see exactly how. I mean, that's it was actually one of those stories for the week that made me laugh a little bit, that would be the music video to break YouTube, as I heard it say during the week. But in any case, it's pretty nice to see that there was, or pretty interesting actually, to see that there was a limit on how high the YouTube counter went, and exactly what they had, or the reasoning behind that issue. This week, Android 5.0.1 was released to AOSP, so there's already that update rolling out. A few devices are getting their updates this week, which I'll get to in the device section. I didn't see what the update actually entailed, but I'm guessing it's just minor bug fixes and performance enhancements and things like that. If it's anything with the, I believe it was a Wi-Fi or battery issue with the version 5 initial release, it probably fixes that and other things on the back end, but don't quote me on that. But finally, Gmail got an update this week to now support opening Office files directly from the email attachment for editing in Google Drive. So So in case you need to open Word documents, let's say, on your Chromebook, or you prefer to use Google Drive instead of Office, then that is now, sure, now that should be a little bit easier. As far as the apps news for this week, IMDb got updated and now support the search functionality in Google Now. So if you have one of the recent versions of Google Now, I believe it's the Google 5, or the Android 5 version, you can now say, okay, Google, search for film X in IMDb, and it will open the IMDb app. I don't have that version. I did try to see if that would work, but it didn't work for me. But it is pretty nifty in case you do want to have that ability to open a search or film information directly in IMDb. On a side note, I actually just figured I would try that on my Chromebook, see what happens, and if it opens a website directly by using OK Google. But we'll see, and I'll report back as soon as I actually do that. Firefox got an update, though, to now support mirroring to Chromecast. So I guess they were keeping to the open structure, so rather than just being able to mirror with the Fire Stick, I believe it also supports Chromecast. Fly Delta got updated to version 3.0 and now adds a UI, or it has a UI refresh along with easier access to things like flight information, checking in, baggage tracking, and location information, so like restaurants and places to visit, I believe, things like that, so just points of interest. Google Play is getting an update to version 5.1.11. It's getting a slight visual update to make things look more consistent and a little bit better as far as material design goes, I'm guessing, as well as a full screen menu bar, so it should look a little bit better there as well. PayPal got an update this week as far as Samsung devices go to support fingerprint readers on these said Samsung devices. So if you have a Samsung, I believe it's a Galaxy S5, but don't quote me on that, that has a fingerprint reader, PayPal supports those devices specifically. If you're buying a new Nexus device, so for example the Nexus 6, and you need help setting it up or you're having technical issues, then check out the Device Assistant app. What this does is it will call a Nexus representative at Google, similar to the feature on the Kindle Fire tablets. I forget what it's called offhand with the Kindle Fire, but it does a similar thing where you can talk to a or a Google employee. You'll ask your question, and they'll hopefully be able to help you out with your questions or whatever issues you may be having. The Google News and Weather app got updated this week to now have a dark theme and updated news and weather abilities. So you can now add custom news sources as well, and it has an improved weather functionality, so look out for that. Google Messenger got an update this week to now allow custom colors for contacts. So if you want to differentiate between some of your contacts or your most often used contacts, you can now do that as well. A new instant messaging sort of app was released this week. It's called Wire. It's released by, or it was released by the original founders of Skype. A little bit of background for this app, according to the founders, is that Skype was released or created and released in the time for what its needs were, so the platforms of the time, but it's getting to be a bit outdated and old. So what they wanted to do was create an app that was new and followed some of the visual elements of new operating systems and make something more modern and worked with all the different multimedia types that are available now. So they created Wire. It is available for Android and iOS with a desktop version coming soon. And essentially it's Skype for the modern era, or if you want to compare to other messengers, along the lines of even WhatsApp or whatever other, I think Kik Messenger does a similar thing where you can do your web chat, voice chat, video, send messages, links with embedded content and all of that good stuff all in one place. Wire does not support video messaging at the moment, but it's something that they're going to be adding soon. And I will say that the app itself does look visually pretty cool. I recently did add a couple of contacts to it, and it works pretty seamlessly. You get a notification when someone wants to add you. You get, of course, a notification when you get a new message. And it does work very well with swipe gestures, swiping up and down. One thing I did like that was pretty cool was the ability to customize its, or how they have the ability to create or customize the appearance. So when you select a picture, you can select a personal profile picture of yourself, or you can create a custom background. But then what it does after is allow you to have a custom tint on a sliding color scale. So if you want blue or red or pink or whatever color appears on the scale, it will add that tint and hue to the picture. So it's kind of like that additional customization and look and feel of the UI to match all in one. So it's like kind of like an instant theming of the app. And it's pretty cool. I actually like it. It's very lightweight. We'll see exactly how much it takes off, especially along the line, or since there are so many other messenger apps, and if people actually do prefer to use it over Skype itself, or Kik, BlackBerry Messenger, or even WhatsApp. But I will say that visually it does look a lot better and smooth, and maybe it does, or that is what people want. Personally, I would probably want something along the lines of having it import certain contact lists or support things like Google Voice, for example, and use Google Voice as a backend for sending messages and all of that. But we'll see exactly how, if it has or what they do in over time as far as new features and things like that. As far as other apps getting a UI refresh, Pandora is getting a new update as far as how, or they're making it easier to view music info, share that tracks and albums. The update is coming to select users right now in the coming weeks, but it should be released to everybody in the coming months. I did see a couple of the screenshots, and it does look pretty cool. There are some screenshots on the Pandora blog as well. But finally for this season, Target and Google teamed up to create a new app called Bullseye Playground. It's essentially a way to get, like, you play games to get codes and promotions and things like that. And for every game that's played, Target is donating $1 to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, up to $1 million. So not only is this a kind of promotion for the store, but they're donating to a good cause as well. You can check it out by visiting target.com/play. I'll have that link in the show, or essentially that's the link. So just visit target.com/play and you'll be able to check it out and see what it can do for you. But with that, I'll jump right into the device section for this week. So to start out, Android 5 is starting its rollout for the Sony Xperia Z Ultra and the LG G Pad 8.3 Google Play Edition. So if you have either one of those devices, then keep hitting the update button to get that update. The LG G3, though, started getting its CyanogenMod 11 nightlies this week. So if you want the CyanogenMod version of Android, then definitely check that out. Since it is a relatively new device and is getting CyanogenMod 11, there's probably a good bet it'll get CyanogenMod 12 as soon as that starts rolling out. Don't quote me on that, of course, but definitely keep your eye out in case you want it. The pretty cool news for this week, or intriguing news, was that the Kindle Fire first generation got an unofficial CyanogenMod 12 build by user The Unknown One. So if you still have it like I do and you're interested in trying it out, or want to have CyanogenMod 12 on your Kindle Fire, then definitely check it out. I'm going to see, since I do have a Chromebook, I'm going to see if there's a way to still root my Kindle Fire and get CyanogenMod on it. It may be worth checking out since the spec should be up to, or should be good enough to try it out, but it is cool that there's still developers who are putting or still porting Android to older devices. If you're in Poland, the Samsung Galaxy S5 started getting its Android 5 update, so definitely look out for that. It may start rolling out soon in other countries, but I didn't see any updates as far as that goes, but we'll see. It seems like they're already getting to work on that Android 5 update, or pushing it out at least, so it should be coming soon. If you're on Verizon and you want to get Android 4.4.4, then, or I guess I said that way randomly backwards and out of place, but if you have a Samsung Galaxy Note 3, it got its Android 4.4.4 update, so keep hitting the update button for that. I did see, a couple of articles I read, it did seem like they added a bunch of bloatware to that update, so be wary there. If you're, I don't know if it has that ability like the My Mono X, but you can disable apps. So if you don't want those bloatware apps to show up or keep bugging you and pestering you, then you can always disable them in the Manage App section. This week, the 2013 Moto G got, or the services app got updated on that Moto G. So the articles were saying that it looks like it was in preparation to get Android 5, so maybe that release is coming soon. I still haven't seen anything new as far as the 2013 Moto X, but I can't wait. If I hope it comes soon, maybe hopefully sometime this year. But I figure it took a couple of months, I think, for the Android 4.4.4 update, so I figure by January there should be more news. And finally, the HTC One M8 and I believe the M7 as well, Google Play editions, should now actually start getting its Android 5 update. This update started rolling out, or should start rolling out, on Friday, December 5th. That was some of the stories I read that stated. It was, I believe, the vice president over at HTC said that this version that was promised a couple of weeks ago is now rolling out. We'll see how many people actually are able to get it, but this time, actually, I guess they're not jumping the gun and it is actually rolling out. But that's all for that. So after the short break, I will get into the app review and the Chromebook quick tip. So if you're updating your Galaxy S5 or you're moving to a CyanogenMod ROM, or you're playing the game that I'm going to mention as far as app review goes, and you want to get the best possible quality sound, be sure to check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so if you want red to show your enthusiasm for Christmas, or you want a white set of headphones to match your iPhone 6, or you want a wooden one to match your wooden Moto X, they have those styles and colors to match all sorts of devices and looks. All of their headphones are also noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world. So you'll hear more of the sounds and music of the games you may be playing more, or you'll be able to zone out more to whatever music or podcast you're listening to, or whatever TV shows or movie you're watching, anything like that. And when you use the promo code GEEK, that's GEEK, you'll get an extra 1/3 off your order as well. So not only will you get a brand new pair of headphones, not only will you save some money, but you'll also show your support for the Android Realm podcast and the Geek.io network of shows. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweet and use the promo code GEEK at checkout. We thank them for their support and we hope you show them your support as well. But with that, I'll just start with this week's app review. And this week's app review is Santa Tracker. It's an app that was released earlier in the week by Google. What it does is, it's actually a two-fold feature. The first feature is that it has a countdown to Christmas. So you'll see, when you open the app, you'll see that countdown timer, so you can know exactly how far away Christmas is. But the app also comes with a few different games. So the first game is essentially dropping mints into this jar or bin. And the trick of the game is that there are various candy canes tilted at different angles. And so you have to tilt your phone to roll the mint down the candy canes and into the jar. After you do the initial one, you'll get, for example, 2 mints with the same angled candy canes, and then you may get 1 mint, but the candy canes are angled differently. And it progressively gets harder, so you'll get multiple mints that you have to roll down the variously angled candy canes until you drop the mints into the jar. Another game is a matching card game in a gingerbread house. So you'll start off with, I believe it's 4 cards to make 2 pairs of matches, and then you'll expand from there to various numbers. Another one is a jetpack game where you're a man in it with a jetpack and you have to collect various presents and candies and things like that. And the last one is a Santa sleigh ride game. It's kind of along the lines of Jetpack Joyride, so you tap your screen to keep Santa in the air to collect gifts. And then there's one last one where you can touch Santa, Santa's helper, a snowman, and a reindeer. I didn't know exactly what the purpose of that one was. They just shook a little bit and had different animations, which looked pretty cool, I guess, but I wasn't sure beyond that. And then there's a couple of secret items that are locked at different dates. So once those dates come, those features will unlock for more things in the app, so it's worth checking out. I'll have a link in the show notes to the Google Play Store so you can check it out for yourself. As I said, it is a free app, and if you want a little bit of fun for the Christmas season, then it's worth checking out. But that is all there is for that. So this week's Chromebook Quick Tip is something that I've seen and I never really got around to checking, but let's say you're moving around or you're traveling around with your Chromebook and you have no internet access and you have nothing to do and you want to play a quick game, then when you open your web Chrome browser, this happens, actually works on other devices as well, be it your Chrome for Android, Chrome on your desktop, or on your Chromebook. When you see the dinosaur and the screen that says no internet connection, when you hit your space bar, you can play a nice simple side-scrolling game where it's a dinosaur going horizontally across the screen, and hitting the space bar will allow you to cause a dinosaur to jump. And essentially your obstacles are various size and quantity of cactus or cacti. And so essentially all you're doing is along the lines of a traditional arcade game where the dinosaur jumps over the cacti and you get points and that's about it. So it's a pretty nifty way of just killing some time if you have some time, or if you're on a plane and you want to try and get yourself to go to sleep, then that's where this game comes in, and you'll see that in the screenshot. So it's pretty nifty. I had seen it and never really got around to thinking about it until recently when my computer didn't have internet access, so I gave it a shot. You activate it, as I said, by hitting the space bar, and then as the screen starts scrolling, you hit space bar to get your dinosaur to jump. And that's about all there is to that. It's a black and white game, so nothing special, but it is kind of fun and entertaining if you have some free time and you want to, or you have some time to kill and you want to play a game. And it doesn't, and obviously because it shows up when you have no internet connection, it does not require an internet connection, and you can sit and play it and enjoy yourself to kill some time. But that is actually all for this particular episode of the Android Realm Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, we thank Tweaked Audio for their support of the Android Realm Podcast and the Geek.io network of shows. And of course, if you want to help support the show and the network in another way, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/geek.io. So if you want to help remove ads from the show on the site, help expand the network with new shows and things like that, then any little bit helps. So we thank you in advance for your support there. And of course, if you want to find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network, you can visit geek-io.com. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.